God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Risen Christ. Amen. Risen Christ.
Today we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
What does that mean? God wants us to trust in His mercy.
Yes.
He wants us to realize that He is King of mercy. Mm-hmm. And He gives us signs to wake us up. Amen. To get us out of our being complacent. Maybe not fully attentive or conscious of how we're called to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Where were you when there was an earthquake? I know some of you, when I had we had our rosary within adoration, some of you were in New Jersey. You said you didn't experience the earthquake. Some did. Some experienced it in Philly. We all had these conversations. Where did you raise your hand if you feel the earthquake? Okay. All right. Okay. Put your hands down. It's interesting. It's kind of very. I was outside of Philly at the time, helping out a priest friend of mine with a funeral mass in Phoenixville, so I didn't experience the earthquake. But it's interesting. Some of you experienced it, and some of you didn't. And when the ones who did experience it, I'm sure you had that fear, the anxiety, like, what is happening? Why is this happening to me? Right? You're in your house, and things are shaking, or maybe you're in your workplace. And it's just starting to move. You're feeling this earthquake. Like, why is this happening? It's interesting. Why did it happen during the Easter season? It's just kind of interesting because in the sacred scripture, it says that after the resurrection, there was an earthquake.
Yes. Ah, yes.
Come on.
When you read the Word of God, if you read the Word of God, it says there was an earthquake and people came out of the tombs. Yep. All these people that were dead were risen. They came out of the tomb. And the temple was destroyed. I mean, it was just destroyed. Yeah. And what did Jesus say? He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up.
Yeah.
He prophesied. And before He went to Calvary, before our Lord went into Jerusalem, He saw Jerusalem and He wept because He saw the destruction of Jerusalem. He saw the destruction of the temple. And it wasn't so much about the physical destruction that our Lord wept, but he was weeping because they rejected Him. He wanted them to become one flock, one shepherd, one faith, because there's only one Savior.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen?
Yes.
Jesus says He is the way. He didn't say a way, but He said the way, the truth, the life. So the way that we follow, the truth that we come to believe, and the life that we're called to live. So He's very definitive in revealing His identity and His mission. And what's our response? You know, in the earthquake, they say you have to stand in between the doorway. You know, they say, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but last time I heard, that was like the safest place. So if you're in an earthquake. And, but the earthquake was like, wow. Like maybe, perhaps our Lord allow us to experience the earthquake to wake us up, to say, wait a minute. He is risen. This is not an ordinary day. This is not an ordinary season. These are the days in which Christ is celebrated as risen. You know, last Sunday we say that Jesus was risen, and the apostle disciples, you know, St. Mary Magdalene, she saw the risen Christ, right? It happened on the Sabbath. This time, our Lord is revealed on the Sabbath. But in this encounter, Thomas wasn't there. Thomas called Didymus. He's an apostle. He wasn't there. So he said, you know what? I don't believe. Like, Like, I wasn't there, I don't believe. You know, maybe some people will say, well, you know, I didn't experience the earthquake, no big deal. Maybe it didn't really happen, or maybe it doesn't really affect me, right? Even if it did happen, it doesn't affect me. But it's like for Thomas, he said, well, maybe it happened, but I don't believe it happened. Because it didn't happen to me. I didn't see Christ. I didn't experience his resurrected body. And he said, until I touch his hands with the wounds and his side, I will not believe. He makes that ultimatum. He's basically telling God, until you show yourself, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus is King of Mercy. He answered that ultimatum. And he didn't have to. But in his mercy, he did. But he did so because Thomas was an apostle that was going to be sent on a mission. And he had to suffer many persecution. He founded the church in India. So if you go to the Catholic Church in India, they love St. Thomas. They are big, very devoted to him. And he instituted the church there and the sacraments. You know, he ordained men to become bishops, and they became ordained men to become priests. So he started the liturgy there, how to celebrate Mass. So he's huge in India. He had to sacrifice and suffer to build up the church there. And so he needed that. He needed to have that conviction that Jesus was risen. So God gave him extra graces because of his mission. Right? But we know that, you know, the door was locked when our Lord came through. The door was locked. And every one of them were afraid, right? They were afraid. If our Lord was, you know, he was taken away, he suffered, he died, maybe we're next. Maybe the Romans are going to come in. Maybe Judas is going to get more money. Maybe they didn't know he committed suicide. Because remember, they asked Jesus, they said, what happened to him? They said, what happened to him? Is he alive? Is he going to come back to us? They didn't really know. At some point, they didn't know what happened to him. Eventually, they did, and that's why it's recorded. But at some point, they didn't know, right? So there was this, wasn't sure what happened to him. And our Lord didn't just say plainly he took his own life. He said, don't worry about what happened to him. Focus on me, more or less, is what he said. I'm just paraphrasing what he said. He said, but he wanted them to focus on him. He's risen, and he has a mission for them, right? So St. Thomas, he sees our risen Lord, and he says, my Lord and my God. Yes. Church family, I want you to say, my Lord,
my Lord
and my God.
And my God.
Let's say it again. My Lord,
my Lord
and my God.
My God.
When St. Thomas said that, it was the Holy Spirit. He gave him that prayer, my Lord and my God. He believed. He saw Jesus and he believed. And Jesus said, don't be unbelieving. Be believing. You know, he even criticizes the apostles. He said, you have a hardness of heart. He said, you have a hardness of heart. He rebuked them. He rebuked them. He said, you have to believe. This is your job. I was with you for 3 years. You are my friends. You're my close family. And he's given that sign to draw them. The Son of God has given that sign. He's radiating his mercy. And their faith is what was able to see that mercy, to look into the risen Christ. He's radiating this light. You know, on Monday, there's going to be an eclipse. The sun is going to be eclipsed by the moon. It's all over the news, right? You know, it's when the moon is in front of the sun. And there's a point of when the moon is overshadowing the sun towards the end. I was reading an article by NASA, and they said that it's going to look like a ring with a diamond. It's like a ring. So it makes me wonder, maybe our Lord wants that to happen. Because remember, Easter is the season. So it's 8 days after Easter Sunday. Every day, we sing the Gloria. And we had God's men and telling it play to sing the Gloria. We're praising God. It's not simply, it's not really a song, it's a prayer that we sing. It's a prayer that we sing, you know. And that prayer that we sing is we're glorifying God, we're praising God. Yeah. It's a prayer of praise towards God. Yeah. And we didn't say it during Advent, and we don't say it during Lent, but we say it during Easter and during the ordinary season. We're praising God. We're celebrating the risen Christ. And so maybe when we see the solar eclipse, maybe that's a sign. Jesus is saying, look, he wants us to realize that ring, when you look at a circle, is a sign of eternity. Right? A circle doesn't have a beginning, and it doesn't have an end. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen?
Yes.
He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega.
Yes.
He has no beginning as the Son of God. But he became human. He took on our humanity. So he had a beginning on earth and the ending on earth, but he has no beginning and end as the Son of God. And so Jesus is saying, yes, he suffered and died on the cross, but he remains. Mm. Only God can do something. He says, I have to leave, but I'm going to stay. I have to leave, but I'm going to stay. But the way he's going to stay is within our soul. So the apostles, they want Jesus to come and say, okay, Lord, let's be back to the same. I see you, you see me. I hear you, you hear me. Forget this whole depending on faith. But when you look at the sun during the eclipse, if you look at that sun, you're going to damage your eyes. Your eyes are going to be damaged because that sun is too powerful for us to look at. Even outside of a solar eclipse, actually, I even talked to one of my relatives, and he was saying he tries to get his kids to wear sunglasses because he knows, you know, the sun damages our eyes. If we look at the sun, you got to wear sunglasses. You got to protect our eyes. We think that, you know, when you're young, we don't care. We don't want to do it. But when you get old, then you're going to care, right? Because now the damage is already done because it takes time. But when you look at the sun with your naked eye, it actually damages our eyes.
Yeah.
We need the sunglasses, right? So, like, the Word of God is like a sun. It's like looking at the sun. When I read the Word of God, it's like staring at the sun. It's so holy. It radiates God's truth to such a high degree, we don't grasp what Jesus is saying.
Our Lord.
We don't grasp what our Lord is saying. And that's the beauty of our faith. It's a mystery. So the church is like the moon. The church is like blocking the rays of the sun so that we can see without hurting our eyes, without us being blinded by the light. But we also, because the church has a way of revealing to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed in the gospel message.
Yes.
He breathed the Holy Spirit. He's like,
yes.
You're going to get this right, but you're going to get it right in the church. So Jesus left, but he stayed. But the way he stayed is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit raised up the apostles. Peter got up and started preaching. But he didn't preach based on his own knowledge and wisdom, his level of faith, hope, or love for God. He wasn't depending on himself. It wasn't a dependence on man. It was a dependence on God, who is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
God is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, when I go, I have to go. You're like, wait a minute. How is it better for you to go? If you are the best, you're the Messiah, come to save us. How is it better for you to leave? But our Lord said, yes, it's better for me to go than to remain. Because then your faith will be illuminated. The rays of my love, of my presence through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit makes Jesus present.
Amen.
So that's what he does. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So when you see me at Mass place my hands like this, the big word they say is epiclesis. And basically what it means is that's the moment when you hear the bell being rung, and it's a sign that the Holy Spirit is descending on the host,
yes,
and the wine, and consecrating the host and the wine. So God, who is eternal, like the circle, like the ring, he enters into human history, become incarnate, take on our humanity, our sin, suffers and dies, goes into heaven. He draws us into his eternal life, his eternity.
Correct.
So we don't have this level of where we're just going in circles, like the earth, which revolves around the sun. It revolves around the sun. The same rotation, right? The earth revolves around the sun. The sun doesn't revolve around the earth. It's the earth that revolves around the sun. We are on that axis of faith where we follow Christ. And Christ is saying, look, you're not just going to be born from the earth and just go back to the earth, and that's the end of your chapter. But he says, no, I'm going to project your access, your path to go into eternity, into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So with eyes of faith, we see the mystery of this truth, which illuminates our heart. And we see it without damaging our understanding, our way to grasp what is happening. So we have our faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And it's not perfect, right? It's not perfect. But every day we see the light of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And we say, the Lord is living. He's not dead. I'm not going to put my head down saying, poor me, poor me. The world is full of chaos. There's earthquakes. There's wars. There's violence. There's darkness. But we say, no, there's not just darkness. There's light. There's a light of grace. Jesus is risen. That's why we have Paschal joy. And we have this Paschal joy that the Lord is risen. And it makes us say, my Lord and my God. So we're filled with this hope, this joy, that not just the apostles experienced, the disciples 2,000 years ago. No, it's what we experience. We're drawn into that joy of the risen Christ. And Jesus is King of mercy. Amen. And so we pray for God's mercy. In the beginning of Mass, we say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We said it in Greek, but that is what we said. We ask for God's mercy. At the end of Mass, God's men is going to sing the Divine Mercy chapter. I said it last Sunday. I'm saying it again, that they're going to sing a prayer. It's not a song, you know, per se, that we just sing to kind of feel good about ourselves or learn about God. No, it's a prayer. It's basically, it's a prayer, Divine Mercy Chapel. And the prayer is made into a song so that we just kind of can pray by singing. Because it's easier to kind of get in that right vibe to pray when we sing. The Psalms are songs. King David was singing these prayers.
Come on.
The Psalms of David are songs. They're prayers that are played with a melody. So King David, you may think of him as just a king or warrior, but he actually was a musician. This man had a lot of talents. He would sing to God a prayer. And the Psalms, we have the Psalms being sung, but it's a prayer. We sing along that prayer by the response. Because God, the Holy Spirit wants us, the Holy Spirit wants us to pray and sing,
yeah,
at the same time. Because we experience a particular joy when we do that. We get a particular amount of peace,
yeah,
when we sing and pray. We pray and sing together.
Yeah.
It's special, right? The Holy Spirit inspires us. He inspires King David to pray and sing at the same time. It's not just singing. Because we can hear songs, you know, secular songs, where, you know, you're singing a song, it has nothing to do about God. Nothing. Nothing to do about who God is, what God has done for us, what God is doing in us, for us. Has no connection to God. No connection to our Catholic or Christian faith. But what God's men is going to sing is a song that communicates what Jesus wants to say to us. He wants us to ask him for mercy. Because when we do that, we're acknowledging this. We're acknowledging that we're sinners. We're acknowledging that mercy is the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says in the gospel, he said to the apostles, your sins, the sins that you forgive are forgiven, and those that are retained are retained. So he says, peace be with you. He connects it to that peace to a reconciliation with him.
Yes.
In which we're forgiven of our sins. Mm-hmm. So that's the context. It's not just peace be with you, and because you're afraid and you have anxiety, you feel discouraged. It's connected to a forgiveness of sins. So I invite you, I ask you to please stay at the conclusion of Mass and to pray with us, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's a long song. The prayer is actually very short, but the song is long. But it's a beautiful song. And they got to play this song and prayer, just pray this song at Our Lady Chestova Shrine. And people loved it. People loved hearing this song chaplet, this prayer into song, Divine Mercy Chaplet. On EWTN, which is a Catholic network, international, it's not just America, it's millions of people all around the world. It has several different languages. They know this song. People around the world know this song. It's called the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So it's sung. They have a priest who's right there, and they have a deacon, and then they have like a choir, and they're singing and praying this song. They're praying this Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's a song, so it's being sung and prayed. And everyone understands that although it's being sung, it's a prayer. It's a prayer in which we're asking Jesus for mercy, forgiveness of sins, not just for us, but for the whole world. So it's not a prayer, you know, it's not a selfish prayer we're just asking for us to be forgiven, but it's really is a prayer that's really selfless. It's asking for us to be forgiven, but for the whole world.
Yeah.
So acknowledging that we're all of us needs God's mercy.
Amen.
So Divine Mercy, today is the special day, Divine Mercy Sunday. So all around the world, this feast is being celebrated. And that Divine Mercy Chaplet is being prayed or sung either before Mass or after Mass. It's a tradition. So we pray for God's mercy. We acknowledge Jesus as King of Mercy. And we become that which we ask for. Jesus says, be merciful. You know, those who are merciful receive mercy. Jesus is King of Mercy, right? So we ask for his mercy, and we show acts of mercy. You know, I invite you to say something that's kind to your neighbor, to your family, to your friends. Say something that is charitable. If you see someone that's discouraged, that's afraid, that's doesn't feel hope in their hearts, I invite you to say to them something kind. You know, be the voice of mercy in their life. If they're confiding to you about their struggle, about maybe losing a loved one, or maybe experiencing maybe a financial loss, or experiencing bad health, say something kind to them. You know, because a lot of times, when someone is suffering, friends or families, they want to stay away from that. You know, if someone's in a hospital or someone is dying, we may experience a temptation like, you know what, I don't want to get those vibes. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I feel uncomfortable. But I would say embrace that feeling uncomfortable. When someone is suffering, embrace that. And with joy, with mercy, and Give that person a hug. Give that person words of mercy. Tell them that Jesus is King of Mercy. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And tell them that Jesus got this. Amen?
Amen?
And maybe, even if you feel uncomfortable, maybe say, let's pray together.
Yes.
Let's say a prayer to Jesus. You know, Jesus, I ask you to show mercy to this person. I ask you to extend your hands that's wounded and embrace this person. Mm. Embrace them with your mercy, Lord.
Yes.
Heal them of their sadness, their discouragement. Give them strength to believe in your resurrection. Mm. That you're not dead, but you are risen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So the word hallelujah, you know, we didn't hear that word, that prayer. Hallelujah is a prayer. We sing that prayer. So whenever you go to Mass, if no one is going to be able to sing the gospel acclamation, you know, then it's not sung. It's omitted. If someone is able to sing, then they can sing the hallelujah, gospel proclamation, before the gospel is proclaimed. But it has to be sung. It cannot be read. So if you notice, when you ever go to Mass, if it's not being sung, it's omitted. It cannot be recited. The church says, if you're going to have it, you got to sing. There's no reciting the hallelujah and the gospel acclamation. It has to be sung. So it's sung. And that hallelujah is not only sung by us, but it's sung by all the angels in heaven.
Yeah.
All the angels are singing hallelujah because they're worshiping God for his accomplishment of not only creation, but redemption. And so Jesus is glorified in his mercy. Jesus said, whenever we ask him for mercy, he's glorified
on
earth because we're acknowledging him as King of Mercy. We're doing something that the saints do in heaven, that the angels do in heaven, acknowledging his mercy. That's a way to glorify God, by acknowledging his mercy. So that is what we're invited to do. You know, we acknowledge his mercy. We ask for his mercy. We become merciful, do acts of mercy, you know, express mercy towards each other. You know, maybe we can also, you know, donate to a charity. That's another act of mercy. You know, feeding the poor, giving to the needy. That's a corporal work of mercy. Praying for someone that needs prayers, even without their presence, just you know, praying for that person in silence, in your home or in church, praying for someone that's in need. These are acts of mercy, forgiving someone that doesn't ask you for forgiveness, right? To forgive and to be patient, long-suffering. Acts of mercy, spiritual and corporal. Jesus says he wants us to ask for mercy, to pray for it, and to be merciful. To do these acts of mercy.
Yes.
This is Divine Mercy Sunday. And this is how we glorify his mercy and taste the goodness of his mercy.
Amen.
And proclaim his mercy to our you know, our church family, to our community, and the world.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.